All right, hello everybody. We are going to go ahead and get this thing started as our folks trickle in. All right, hello everyone. We are now going to get ready to start RCFB Talk 11. We are going to be joined by Brendan Minter, and I'm going to go ahead and join invite my co-host here, JD Moore. And we are looking forward to talking some college football. So just give us a moment as we go ahead and go through some of these initial logistics. All right, JD, are you with us?
Yes, sir. It is a wonderful evening, fresh off of a surprising beatdown from Texas Tech against Mississippi State. We've got some more football happening tonight. I'm real excited about it, but I'm really excited about our guest today. It's been incredible content posting ever since that game got canceled, and I can't wait to hear the inside scoop on it.
Me too. And unfortunately, the Hawaii Bowl has been the trendsetter in that regard. Nothing we really wanted to see happen, but we were just impressed by how Easy Post approached it, and we absolutely had to invite the person behind the scenes. So, Brendan Minter, you were the man behind Easy Post's Twitter account, and we really just wanted to talk to you about that. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you end up at Easy Post? And how did you end up kind of taking over their Twitter account this weekend?
Hey guys, this is Brendan. First off, thank you so much for making this happen. Definitely attribute a lot of this success to Reddit CFB. You guys got it started. You saw the content from the start and started amplifying. And congrats on being the official Hawaii Bowl MVP. But really, appreciate you guys amplifying and. None of this happens without your guys' help. So, very much appreciate that. But yeah, a little bit about myself. I don't usually run the Easy Post Twitter. Not a lot of people know that. But when this opportunity happened, had to jump on it. Pretty much hijacked the Twitter, took the keys, and rolled with it. And I guess table set. Our brand voice for the time being and really moving forward. So yeah, just a wild, wild opportunity, and took the reins and I'm really glad it worked out.
Yeah, because I remember when we came across that, it was striking because obviously the bowl was canceled. We were doing our own thing, and then I thought, well, who's sponsoring this bowl? And then I saw Easy Post. I went over to the Twitter account, and that was just this hilarious tweet that had no interactions yet. And I felt, we've got to share. I mean, that's the idea of any, I think, Twitter account that's trying to help people or at least try to amuse people that are following it. But and then you took the ball and ran with it, because at first it was just kind of like we shared it, and then you were just having a field day responding. What's your social, I mean, what background, such a weird thing to say, what's your social background, but what kind of background did you have before you joined Easy Post?
Yeah, so I come from about 4 years of experience with the NFL social influencer marketing and helping them create content for all social channels. So that was definitely helpful to just mold that experience and be ready to go at a moment's notice when this cancellation happened. So I would say that I'm very much meme-centric kind of social person, and don't want to be cringy. I always hate when I see brands like try too hard, So it felt right, and it felt like Easy Post wants to be your friend, and you want to be Easy Post's friend. So was trying to take that voice and just run with it.
So how has, you know, the staff at Easy Post, you know, your boss, I'm sure the people who run the company, how have they been about how you've decided to take things in a different direction? Because I have to admit, since this this whole Hawaii Bowl fiasco, every time a bowl has been canceled, I've been checking to see, well, what is their sponsor doing? And none of them are doing anything close to this. And I mean, it's rare to see a company take risks like that, particularly, I mean, and I'm going to probably have to ask you later what exactly a shipping API is. I am not the most expert person on that particular topic, but
neither am I. I will try my best.
But I mean, how has the response been within the company to see like their Twitter account, like kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say dominated Twitter, but really, you know, probably got more attention than it would have had the bowl game actually happen.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, I've been telling people, I kind of want the bowl game to get canceled every year, because this was way better performance than it would have been had we actually had the game. But, you know, it's been all around support from the rest of Easy Post. A lot of people reaching out saying, hey, I've never met you, but like, great job. This is amazing. Other messages on the Slack saying, hey, who's the 22-year-old kid that took too many cold brews running our Twitter? He's doing great. So it's been all around supportive and definitely a pleasant surprise to see, you know, a shipping API company take such a ridiculous tone. And, you know, I think it adds value, I guess a meme currency, if you will, on why you would follow a shipping API. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't, to be honest, but, you know, want it to be entertaining, want it to be fun and conversational. So that's where we're at, and that's how we're going to do it moving forward.
It certainly was a lot of fun to watch a canceled bowl game take over social media. But what was the original plan that y'all had originally going into this game? Was there a set series of content that you're going to put out? Specific themes or framing that you wanted to do? What was the original plan before this game was originally canceled for your social media scheduling?
Yeah, so original plan, definitely one of the bedrocks that we were going to lean into was the turnover chain. We had a turnover chain made. It was not actually $10,000. It was probably about 200 and some change. Shout out to the Etsy artist that created that for us. Really appreciate you. But had those, and we actually have two of those surprise, one for each sideline. And we will be revealing the winner of one of those chains tonight. So we had two. We were going to give one to each sideline and had actually a surprising amount of enthusiasm from both Hawaii and Memphis players and wanting to wear it and rock the chain on national TV. So I personally had never seen a brand try to do that, try to do a celebration chain or belt, etc. Although now the Cheez-It MVP belt, like, that was sick. I really like that. Shout out Cheez-It. So yeah, that was definitely one of the big things we had planned, and also the shirts, which worked out in our favor, being super generic. It didn't have a Hawaii or Memphis logo just because of how long it took to produce the shirts and ship them to Hawaii. We wanted to make it generic, and that worked out in our favor. We had, you know, hundreds of these shirts to give away. So it was all just the perfect storm.
As somebody who is people interested in those shirts, by the way, I mean, that was one of the striking things, how many replies you were getting requesting those shirts. I mean,
it was unbelievable. Yeah, 100%. It became a vintage item. Definitely, again, going back to meme currency, it's just something fun to wear. I'd rock it at a music festival or something. It's I don't know. But again, perfect storm. It was great.
As somebody who's waiting on his size large shirt, when do you expect these shirts to actually start getting shipped out to all these people who have DM'd with their sizes, their addresses? Do you have to ship them back from Hawaii? What's the procedure with that?
JD, great question. I got two answers for you. One, I know you're in Austin. I am in Austin too. I can hand deliver a shirt to you.
Yes.
I got you. Great news there. And then the rest of the shirts, I've got three boxes shipping from Hawaii to our headquarters in Lehigh, Utah. They get there tomorrow, and I'm going to have a couple people in Utah help me distribute and ship via Easy Post to all of the people that have DM'd and requested these shirts. So they will be coming shortly. Give it about a week or two, you know. We're trying our best.
Outstanding. But yes, absolutely. I will take you up on that offer on a hand delivery. Certainly would love to do that.
So I have a quick question for you, Brandon. You know, when you were, it was fun to watch. By the way, sort of all over the place. One of the things I wanted to ask about was the planned national anthem that was going to be at the Hawaii Bowl. And it seemed really interesting what you were going for. There was a 7-time cancer survivor. Could you tell me more about that?
Totally. Yeah. So 7-time cancer survivor and former Marine. His name is Ed Schrenk. Amazing story. We had him in Hawaii with his family ready to sing the national anthem. He was super hyped up, anthem practice the day before went really well for him. He was super excited. And we were just devastated to see him not get that chance to sing on national television. A little bit about his backstory. Like you mentioned, he's a 7-time cancer survivor. He had part of his skull removed. They said that they were going to have to remove his jaw on cancer 5, and that didn't actually end up happening. However, after cancer 6, they essentially drilled a hole in the top of his mouth that basically rendered him unable to speak. It's very, very hard for him to speak without a prosthetic in his mouth. And so when we were with him in Chicago, filming a little intro piece for the national anthem, he took out this prosthetic in his mouth and spoke to us. And I just remember, and I'm actually getting goosebumps right now, but I remember in the moment thinking like, wow, this right here is the moment that not only performs on social, but that is just the perfect moment for telling his story. This man can hardly speak, and he said, you know what, I'm going to wake up, and I want to learn to sing. Not only speak, but I want to learn to sing and sing well. And he's been doing it across the country now at different events, NFL games, NASCAR race, etc. And so, you know, after seeing this bowl game get canceled, I really want to try to start something where we can get Ed to, I don't know, let's say the college football playoff or something. But I want him to have that chance to sing the national anthem, and maybe we can help. Who knows?
I hope we can reach some of those people who might consider that. That's an exciting story, and just a triumphant story for someone who's gone through so much. Kind of also just sort of changing into the actual game day. You went to the stadium and tweeted a series of amusing moments. My favorite was when you kicked the field goal to give Memphis its default win. How did that come about? Was that just sort of planned on the cuff? I assume you're going to show up at the stadium anyway. And then you just decide while you were there, I'm going to stage a game, you know, as you were kind of running along.
Which, based on that as well, I'm also curious, when and where were you when you heard that the game was going to be canceled?
Right. I think I was at the Tiki Bar, as I alluded to in several tweets. At the Tiki Bar, saw it on my phone and thought, shit, what do we do? So, and that's when, you know, what was the first tweet? It was something along the lines of, hey, Hawaii Bowl, can I speak to a manager, please? And I thought about deleting that after a couple minutes of that being live. And I think that may have been the first tweet that you guys quote tweeted.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw that tweet. I was like,
that started everything.
This is a sense of humor we can get behind.
There we go. Yeah. Positioning Easy Post as the Karen of football sponsors. So yeah, that started everything, and that kind of just, you know, seeing how well that was received gave me the green light to just go wild with it. I hadn't planned to go to the actual stadium until I think the morning of doing that. I didn't know if the stadium was even going to be unlocked. And after speaking with the Hawaii Bowl organizers, they said, "Hey, we can probably get you on the field. We'll get some staff to go unlock the doors." But yeah, it was very spur of the moment, a lot of improv. And I'm glad I have a very brief stint in improv comedy to, you know, credit that for being able to do this on a whim. But, you know, it really just started as, hey, wouldn't this be funny if blank? And I think most of the good ideas on social start that way. Wouldn't this be funny, or wouldn't this be stupid if blank?
Yeah, absolutely. And watching you interact with both, you know, followers and media and other bulls. I mean, I still enjoyed the moment you picked a fight with the Duke's Mayo Bull, who we had the opportunity to talk to yesterday. And he said you two buried the hatchet. But that was amusing that you decided to just go after everybody.
Yeah, got to come at the king. I love what Dukes does on social. They are very good at what they do. So was just trying to get on the same level and call them out. And yeah, now we've called it even. I think we've got some mayonnaise coming to Austin, Texas, and I'm quite excited about that.
So I feel like we should ask, what does Easy Post do?
Yes. Great question. So Easy Post is a logistics platform, a shipping API that helps other companies ship and track their packages, et cetera. And that's about as best of answer I can give to you right now.
Well, that's good. That keeps it simple. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think the more complicated an explanation gets, the more a person wonders how the company's ever going to survive. And clearly this
totally.
Is fine.
There
I
we
mean,
go.
In fact, I believe you guys, when I first came across the Twitter account, I noticed that because, you know, Twitter tells you if other people who follow you follow that. And mm-hmm. the person who I noticed immediately was, there was one in common, and it was Alexis Ohanian, the founder, co-founder of Reddit. So how does that
yes.
background happen?
Yeah, that's actually a great tie-in, seeing that Reddit College Football helped us, you know, get on the scene in social, but Alexis was an early investor in Easy Post, and that is why he follows us. So shout out to Alexis Ohanian. There it is.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
No, yeah.
I mean, he's a serial entrepreneur. He seeds a lot
For
of
sure.
a lot of companies. We've worked with a few. I mean, we're the college football subreddit. We're not like his employees or anything like that. But I mean, yeah, he's a good natured guy. That's for sure. And he's definitely into trying to start interesting companies. What other things do you guys sponsor other than college football bowls that may or may not happen?
Yeah, so that's actually a great question. We are, and you know, I'm proud to say that this will not be a once a year thing. We've got partnerships with UFC, with McLaren and Formula One Racing. We also have sponsorships in golf and cycling as well. So, moving forward, like we definitely want to position ourselves as a year-round sponsor to a ton of exciting sports teams and events. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of caps lock from Easy Post in the months to come.
You know, maybe if you want to get some other vacations in, you should suggest that they sponsor the Bahamas Bowl and get yourself some time at the Atlantis Hotel.
I am shooting an email over right now. That's great. That's great.
The absolute most chaotic bowl with the absolute most chaotic social from a brand content. We absolutely need this. We absolutely need this.
I'd love to keep it going.
So we'd love to open it up to some of our listeners who have questions for Brendan and just sort of the Easy Post sort of story here. So let's see here. Reese, I see you've been there very patient the whole time. I'm letting you up. We'd love to hear from you. And again, this is RCFB Talk 11 with the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl sponsor, social media. I don't want to say social media manager, but the person who is behind what made that Twitter account so awesome for a bowl that didn't actually happen. Reese, unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, Bobak. How's it going tonight?
It's good, man.
Hey, Brendan. So, as a former college football media member, I have a collection of very strange t-shirts from college sports stuff. I have a Fighting Artichokes t-shirt, and I would love nothing more than to add an Easy Post Hawaii Bowl t-shirt to this collection of shirts that do not get worn.
Yeah.
How can we hook this up? And, yeah.
Can you tell me, is there a college associated with Fighting Artichokes? I don't think I'm familiar with
the
that.
Scottsdale Community College. They are I ran into their coach on a college basketball recruiting spaces I was a part of about a month ago and told him how big a fan I was of unique things in college sports. Bobak can actually attest for this. And he's like, yeah, cool, I'll get you a shirt sent out to you. So I have the shirt, and I have it not worn, folded. I'm going to frame it because it's a very unique piece of college sports memorabilia, I believe at least. I have a shirt from Old Dominion's first season, who I used to cover. For Reddit, actually, for a moment. And yeah, I basically just collect strange things in college sports.
I have to say another famous vegetable mascot that you have to acknowledge is the Delta State Fighting Okra. I mean, it's sort of semi-official. They're technically, I think, the Statesmen.
Yes.
But they have some just hilarious, hilarious ads with the Fighting Okra. If you get a chance, YouTube it. It's worth it. Just look up funny Fighting Okra commercial, and some of those links are hilarious.
I've actually seen it, and I've reached out to them about where I can buy shirts. When I reached out, they did not have an online store, so it was kind of weird. That was also the beginning of COVID, though. And also, your cancer patient who was going to do the anthem, I think, would be perfect at Old Dominion University. And I believe I can help hook up because, well, for a brief time, I was the best beat writer for that school. And I still know the administration there.
Great. We appreciate that, Reese. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to suggest maybe DMing the Easy Post account or Brendan, and then they can figure out a way to maybe get a shirt your way. I don't want to promise it because I don't know how many people have requested it for Brendan, and I don't want to speak on his behalf totally there. But I want to be able to get to a few more
folks
who have queued up.
But I did have one more question, though.
Oh, Reese, if you can DM Easy Post, I will get you set up with a shirt, and we can talk about Shrank at Old Dominion. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I had oral cancer one time also. So, I have one more question though.
100%.
If Easy Post was to ship a cereal bowl to Hawaii, would that constitute as the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl? Presented by the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl.
I think so, and I like where your head's at, so I'm going to look into that. I think that idea has some legs.
Okay. Now, also, one last
yes.
question. I'm sorry. One last question.
Last question, Reese, please.
If Easy Post ships a piece of steel, is it still an Easy Post, or is that at that point a hard post?
Ooh. I just for the brand's sake, I would say that is still an Easy Post.
Great. I know who to go for my steel ship. Thank you.
Thanks, Reese. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Reese.
Yeah.
Hey, Travis, we added you to the speaker podium. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, did we just lose him? That might have happened. Sometimes we run with technical difficulties. If you'd like to talk to Brendan and the Easy Post folks, just go ahead and queue yourself up. We will definitely try to add you. And actually, Travis, I just saw you joined again, so I'm going to add you as a speaker. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, and I'm seeing now there was an error, and that's what appears on my side. You know, JD, I just wanted to ask you a question. You grew up in Hawaii, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Born and raised. My first introduction to college football in general was the June Jones era, first with Nick Rolovich at quarterback, then Timmy Chang, and then, of course, the golden years with Colt Brennan and that foursome of incredible wide receivers as well. The Hawaii Bowl is a game that I have always revered, not just because it brings back a lot of good hometown memories, but it's also a fantastic distraction. There is nothing more sacred to me than Christmas Eve midnight mass while I'm secretly taking out my phone and trying to see whether Hawaii has covered plus 10 or not.
That's great. Hey, Travis, I just saw you.
So you're
muted now.
I'm a University of Hawaii super fan, and there is another super fan who really, really wants that chain. Is there any way that we can get that super fan the chain? They're actually in this chat, too, but I just wanted to see if there was any way of sending that fan a chain. I would love a shirt, but I don't think that's probably ever going to happen. But, yeah, that chain.
Thanks, Travis, for asking. Does that superfan happen to be Fuchsia?
Oh, I see Travis, Fuchsia in our chat.
I do see her in the chat. I guess right now is the best time to do it then. The winner, Travis, thanks for setting this up so perfectly. The winner of our Easy Post turnover chain is Fuchsia, so I'd love to bring her up and accept this chain. We'll also send you a couple shirts, Fuchsia.
Absolutely, I'm gonna send an invite to Fuchsia.
Let's go.
Hey, Fuchsia, I am. I apologize. Trying to send you an invite to speak, and it's being difficult with me. Again, it's funny, as I've said this in previous talks, we used to do these via Reddit's own native talk app, which was somehow even more broken than this, which is actually, I think, a trademark of the Reddit brand, is things break frequently. But Fuchsia, I don't know what's going on our side. I keep trying to send you an invite, and it's not even clicking for whatever reason. I'm going to do my best to make sure I can get that to work. But we're excited to hear from you. And as I do that, JD, we were just talking to you a second ago. Actually, Fuchsia, if you could, can you send a request to speak? And then that might allow us to add you. I'm not sure if I can just sort of reach out and do that. But while we're doing that, we have a second. Hey, Andrew, I'm going to go ahead and send you an invite to speak for a second while we kind of sort out. Fuchsia, and Fuchsia, if you can hear me, just if you can just send a request to be added as a speaker, we will do that the moment you do.
Hello.
Oh, yes. Oh, you just did.
Hi.
Oh,
hey,
and Andrew, just be patient. Hey. Hello. Appreciate it, man.
Hello, hello.
Hi. Amazing news. I'm over here crying tears of joy. Because there's nothing more
amazing
in my entire life than the Easy Post turnover chain. And thank you,
Keys,
for the intro.
Yeah, so Fuchsia, if you'll DM me a good mailing address, I'm gonna get you the Easy Post official turnover chain and then a few championship shirts. Appreciate your support and definitely want the turnover chain to stay in Hawaii, to be at the Hawaii Bowl next year in 2022. We're gonna sponsor it then as well. We're gonna sponsor it in 2023. Want the chain to stay in the state, and couldn't think of a better person to have it than you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I will wear it to every Hawaii football game in at least the foreseeable future. And I too am a Hawaii super fan, and I try to attend as many games as possible, both here at home and also on the road.
And this has been a really tough season, I think, overall. I know they've been dealing with a lot of attendance restrictions for Hawaii, which is understandable, but at the same time, it's a bit of a shame, I think, for fans. How long have you been following the Warriors?
So I was born and raised here in Hawaii, and we grew up going to games when I, you know, my whole life. My parents went to university. My senior year of high school was our Sugar Bowl season, and obviously that was the high of our program. After that, I moved to Las Vegas, and so for the last 13 years, I recently moved home, but the last 13 years, I've been to probably 60-something or 70 away Hawaii away games. It's a matter of, like, we're at every single away game. Last season was a little different. I went to the New Mexico Bowl in Wyoming, but before that, we went to all the away games in 2019, in 2018, 2017, 2016. So we really, you know, just love our team, represents our state. This is really awesome. I know our program is going through a lot of struggles, a lot of bad news for us today. So this is my one little victory for the day. And I think that I can share that with the rest of our fan base as well.
Now, Fuchsia, I'm really glad to hear about your ties to Las Vegas as well. Speaking as somebody who was also born and raised Hawaii and has been to a couple of Hawaii UNLV games, what is the experience like for a Hawaii fan to live on the Ninth Island in Las Vegas and to attend a game when you have a Hawaii road game like that?
So I actually moved to Vegas to go to UNLV. So I moved to Vegas when I was 17, went to UNLV, and right off the bat, we were in the student section wearing all of our Hawaii gear in the UNLV student section, trying to not get into any fights. And we saw loss after loss after loss. And the last two wins we had in Vegas were 2007 and 2019. And then we had a disappointing loss this year. But every single time Hawaii plays in Las Vegas, it's the home game. It's a sea of green, and all of my friends and family came out. One of the highlights of my life, probably one of the truly best days of my life, was I threw a tailgate in 2019, and there must have been at least 500 Hawaii fans at my personal tailgate, and the band showed up, there's players, parents, former players. It was just the most amazing thing for us all to be together on the Ninth Island.
Listen, there's a good chance at that 2019 game, I might have been one of those 500 fans who eventually came over to your tailgate. It was an incredible scene at Sam Boyd Stadium, the last Hawaii game to be played in Sam Boyd Stadium. You've got everything from every screaming Hawaii fan. You've got the Hawaii flags flying out there. You even have, we had posted a video from that time of a brother out there playing the ukulele. Just chilling, hanging out, playing the ukulele as Hawaii is winning up on that game. But after that game, were you also among the contingent out in Fremont Street?
I didn't go to Fremont Street, but what I did after that game is I rushed the field solo. So I jumped off like the 10-foot wall at Sam Boyd Stadium, and I made a run for it, and I made it to the trophy ceremony, getting the pineapple trophy at the 50-yard line at Sam Boyd Stadium, and then I got escorted off by the security, and on my way out, I got a selfie with Rolo as they're pulling me off, Coach Rolovich, as they're pulling me off the field. So that was definitely a memorable conclusion to the game as well.
Outstanding. Well, I'm so glad that you will be getting that Easy Post Hawaii Bowl turnover chain, and you'll be proudly displaying it at TC Ching for all these games going forward. I'm so happy for you, and so happy for your Hawaii super fandom to continue on with this incredible prop and trophy for you to be able to use throughout all your future Hawaii games.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hey, so Andrew, We let you up, and then finally we had the technical difficulties with Fuchsia solved. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
All right. So I know during the season we've been staying up quite late to watch Hawaii games, but Reddit CFB talked a lot about the Japanese league. So a question to Easy Post, if they were ever to hold a bowl game in Japan, would you be willing to sponsor it?
a bowl game in Japan. What a concept.
You know, it's happened before. It's happened before. There used to be an end of the regular season game called the Coca-Cola Classic or the Mirage Bowl that took place in Tokyo. But it to make sure, like, I think teams could plan ahead, they, instead of making it an official, like, postseason bowl game, it was like the games they did a few years ago in Sydney, as well as that occasional Notre Dame game in Ireland.
Yeah.
They were letting people know ahead of time. So it was like the last regular season game. And there was a famous one where Wisconsin locked up a Rose Bowl spot by beating a ranked Michigan State team in Japan. Good gosh, those ended, I want to say, in the early 90s.
Yeah. The last time they did an international bowl game was, I believe, the mid-2000s when they played in Canada for the international bowl. I believe that was in Toronto when they played.
The poor Bahamas. They are another country, folks.
Oh, yeah, they are technically. But I always feel like the true. And I mean, it's really nice to go to Bahamas, but I think it would be interesting to play a game at like 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And watch two teams duke it out in the Tokyo Dome.
I like the sound of that. You know, I don't make the decisions here. That is way above my pay grade. However, I am all for a Japan Dome Bowl sponsored by Easy Post. Let's make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. Brendan, you can totally do that. You can just call up the SEC and the Pac-12 and say, you know, you two are going to play a bowl game in Tokyo, and you're gonna like it.
Sure, why not? Why not?
Hey, Andrew, that was a great question. That was fun. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Ben, we're letting you up, Ben. We can't wait to hear from you. We know you've been waiting for a little bit.
Hear me?
We sure
okay,
can.
Just making sure I didn't know if there was a little thing. I've been having some technical difficulties over here because I'm not in my normal spot. So I'm going to get away from the bowl talk a little bit just because as an LSU fan, I think it's kind of been interesting to see what's happened today because, yes, it took us this long, but we finally hired a defensive coordinator. Looking at his resume, it's kind of interesting. His name's Matt House. You may remember him as Kentucky's defensive coordinator in 2018 when they went on that magical run. They got Josh Allen drafted. No, not that one, the other one. Where, like, their defense was suffocating. They held opponents under 14. He's recently been the linebackers coach in Kansas City, and we all know how well that defense has been.
Oh, Ben, I don't know what happened there. You're on, but I can't quite. Your audio cut out. You know, I would love to see LSU play in the Hawaii Bowl, especially the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. I think that would be amazing. Imagine the tailgate that would happen if we had LSU in Hawaii. I actually now want to see that. I have spoken something I now desire more than anything into existence. What do you think, JD?
My goodness. I mean, first and foremost, I'm already thinking of that Cajun Hawaiian fusion that you would find at all of these different tailgates. That's also a free business idea for somebody out there. Some chicken katsu gumbo, doing a jambalaya with some macaroni salad out there on the side with the proper Hawaiian salad. I imagine you could put a whole bunch of poi or lau lau in a bunch of different Cajun dishes. That would be an incredible tailgating scene.
I mean, we know Florida would never fly out that far. That's just not their business. They like to stay in Florida as long as humanly possible. But LSU has a history of flying out west. I mean, they lost to the sissy blue shirts of UCLA at the beginning of the season. And again, if you're not aware, I'm quoting Ed Orgeron before the game. And then, of course, we also had they played at Washington. They're actually not afraid to travel. I mean, we don't see enough of that anymore. Hawaii always used to be the game. Big programs would schedule at the end of the season just to hedge their bets in case they didn't get a bowl game. I vividly remember Alabama, while under a bowl ban, scheduled an end-of-season game at Hawaii. And that was kind of – that created some controversy later for USC when they were under some post-Reggie Bush restrictions. But they were allowed to still play it because they had scheduled that game like years and years in advance, and it was ahead of those issues. So, Ben, hey, we want to – I know you got cut off there. We'll get back to you in a second. I just want to let up another – oh, hey, CFB Campus Tour. Weren't you – we are letting you up here, and I know – I think for a fact you were at the stadium this past weekend.
Hey, yo. He sure was.
What's up, Brendan? How are you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. So what did you think when you saw a guy hopping the fence at the stadium walking towards you?
Oh, man. It was a pleasant surprise. You know, I was glad to see that somebody saw the live tweet and felt compelled enough to come say what's up. So much respect. And also the snipe from up in the stands of me just on my phone on the bench was hilarious.
Well, I wanted to show that there were two people at the stadium at the same time. So we were the, you know, the one and the two. But, you know, I had got a message. I flew from California to the game. And, you know, I travel to college football games. I've seen a game at all 130 FBS stadiums. And Hawaii, I've been to the Aloha Stadium three times, but never to their new stadium. So when the bowl game got announced and they made an extra game, I was really excited to be able to see Hawaii with a game that counts on their record in their home stadium. And when it got canceled, you know, I'm trying to make the best of it just like you. Somebody sent me a DM and they said the Easy Post account is tweeting from the stadium. And I saw it and I was about a half hour away. And I said, I'll drive over there and see what happens. And when I hopped that fence and I saw another person and I what did I say to you? I said, are you the Easy Post guy? And you said, yeah. I was shocked. I thought maybe you guys had taken some photos from the beginning and maybe just were going to tweet them out throughout the duration of how or when the game would have taken place. But to have you there and doing it and sweating, I mean, you were putting on sunscreen when I was talking to you because you were hot. And it was so the dedication and the way that you guys turned it into such a positive, obviously the response that you're getting on social media, you know, I was thoroughly impressed. It was great to meet you. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that you're Easy Post and you guys are coming back for the next couple of years because you guys need to do it and get the satisfaction for your hard work.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. We're looking forward to having an actual game. That'll be, you know what, knock on wood. But, you know, that'll be a great feeling to actually have a real kickoff in 2022. It was great to meet you. Thanks for coming out to the live tweet Hawaii Bowl that never really happened. That was great. Well, that was amazing.
Well, usually when people talk about a historic game, they'll say, hey, were you in attendance? And, you know, there'll be 25,000, but, you know, 100,000 there with Kobe Bryant's last stadium. You know, it like the legend builds and everybody claims they were there. Well, there's only two people who claim they were at the 2021 Hawaii Bowl. And that's you and me. So if anybody else says it, we know that they're lying.
Huge. What an intimate setting. That was great.
All right, man. Thank you.
So I want – well, hang on. Before you get out of here, I am a little bit curious. You obviously have been doing a bunch of different campus tours on every single FBS campus. What has your journey been like in going to all of these different stadiums?
So, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, I hit number 130 out of 130 in at the University of Utah. I started in 2017 and, you know, have done 30, 40, 50 games. This year I went to 28 games in the spring FCS season, and I've gone to 82 games total. I'm actually right now in the San Diego airport because I flew down to San Diego for the Holiday Bowl, and same thing that happened at the Hawaii Bowl. A couple hours before the game, they cancel it. So COVID has been very...
Wait. Hold up. Where are you going next?
No way.
We need to make some bets on who's who may not have a game coming
well,
up.
Well, it's very... yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, I got my car, rented it, drove 20 minutes. My phone started blowing up and they canceled. And, you know, there was plenty of reports about UCLA canceling. But I was supposed to go to the Alamo Bowl tomorrow in San Antonio. And there's reports that Oregon is down 31 players. They have offensive linemen trying to be defensive linemen, and not even Oklahoma feels like the game is going to happen. So I'm just flying back. I live in Northern California. I'm flying back, and if I can pick my spots for another game, that'd be great. But, you know, just – but overall, as far as the journey is concerned, I mean, college football is the greatest sport. You know, they when the Maction games come, you have Tuesday games and Wednesday games. So there was a period in November I went to 15 games in 19 days, and, you know, I'm working on FCS. So, you know, COVID has been a challenge navigating with cancellations, especially now during bowl season. But, you know, everybody has that little dream of going to see a game or their favorite team on the road. And I just have kind of taken it to an extreme level and go to as many games as possible. And you know, you get to meet great people, and it's awesome.
Thank you for sharing that. That is an amazing. That you're doing what a lot of folks wish they could do. I mean, I sympathize with you planning to go to the Holiday Bowl as well. We had a reporter who was scheduled to go to that game. He checked out. He lives in San Diego. He checked out of work and then looked at his phone and found out the game was canceled. So we definitely feel you there. That was when we've covered that game before, and it's always a fun place to see. Would have been really neat to see a game in Petco Park. Because I believe this is the first time they've actually managed to be able to host it there.
Yes.
Because did it happen there last year? Yeah.
No, there was no game last year because they knocked down Qualcomm. So
Qualcomm,
and they had no place for it. And right now, I actually drove by Aztec Stadium is being built. It's ready for September. They're having an opener against Arizona, but they found out a way to. There's no other stadium in the city of San Diego that holds more than 10,000. People other than Petco Park, so they made it work. The pictures look great. Unfortunately, we're not able to see it.
They couldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that new stadium. It's going to be called Snapdragon, which I believe is a division of Qualcomm. So coincidentally, they're getting that stadium name in again. But that'll be great. And hey, Hawaii will eventually play there again as well. So since we're kind of circling back to that. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Of course.
So, Kyle, we're sending you an opportunity to come in and speak with us. And we do, Brendan, by the way, we respect your time. We don't know how long you're going to be able to hang out. But feel free to let us know you need to bail. And we always love talking college football. And for those of you listening, again, this is RCFB Talk 11. We've got the social media person of Easy Post, the Hawaii Bowl sponsor that really kind of went ham after the game got canceled and had a lot of fun. By the way, how many times did you kick that field goal? That is one of my favorite tweets, is you kicking that field goal. Was that one take? Tell me it was one take, or did it take a few?
That was the second take, and I promise you I can post the raw footage if anyone is interested just to prove myself, but that was the second kick, and I stand by that.
I know that you were concerned about Pat McAfee seeing it and commenting on it. Did you ever get any kind of feedback from him on that kick?
I did not, but I know for a fact that it is bad form. I was wearing some Jordans. I didn't want to put my everything into the kick. It was just kind of a love tap. Didn't want to scuff the Jordans too much. So bad form, but it still went through and put some points up on the board.
Wait, one more question on just general Hawaii. What was your favorite part of the trip to Hawaii? Had you been there before? And secondly, what did you enjoy the most about that kind of pregame week experience?
For sure. I had not actually been to Hawaii before, or at least I can't remember if I have. Maybe when I was very younger. My dad is in the room right now. He could probably answer that, but I don't believe I've ever been to Hawaii before. Hey, Dad. And favorite part of the week, probably, you know, I hate to say it because it's so cliche, but Waikiki Beach was just phenomenal in the morning. Before people started crowding the beach, I would walk that every single morning and see the sunrise, and that was just so peaceful and prepped me for a couple days of absolute chaos. So that was really great to be there.
So Kyle, you're muting yourself. We'd love to hear from you. And if anyone else, by the way, wants to queue up, please just raise your hand, request. We'll be happy to hear from you.
Yeah, just kind of a quick question for Brendan. you know, real tough place to be stuck at work when you don't have to do a whole lot of work there, but
incredibly hard.
Really, really terrible place. But you know, in light of a lot of these other college football games getting canceled, what kind of advice would you have to make light of a bad situation for some of these other folks that happen to be stuck in the similar situation that you are, and how to make the best of it?
Yeah, you know, I would say one of my mottos that I go by is be different and do different things. And that couple days that we pulled off with Easy Post is not something that a brand account, a corporate account on Twitter would usually do. So just trying to stick out from the crowd, you know, there are so many bowl games. It's very oversaturated with, hashtags and corporate treats looking like 2014, you know? So we were just trying to be different and, come off as a friend, while still a brand. So, just try to be different and stick out and see what happens.
I think that definitely worked. I mean, I was yesterday when we were talking to Duke's Mayo Bowl, because they were when they were Belk Bowl, they were on the forefront of kind of having fun with social media with Miller over there. And I remember I said to him, I could never imagine a bowl account like the Rose Bowl suddenly deciding to go wacky and have fun. They are the granddaddy of them all. They're super traditional. We love the Rose Bowl. They're letting us come to the game, so I'm not going to necessarily burn that bridge. But at the same time, I mean, it's just not something you're used to seeing. And today, when the Holiday Bowl canceled itself, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to see the San Diego credit union. And I know I'm bungling that, but I couldn't see a credit union necessarily going quite as wacky as you did. But it added a lot, I think, to what was otherwise a really dreary Christmas, because that was the only game on Christmas Eve. I mean, a lot of us
exactly
looked forward to that game, and then it didn't happen, and you made lemonade. You truly made lemonade out of what was a really sour lemon, especially because at that point there had been no bowl game canceled.
Yeah, there it is. That's hitting the nail on the head. We were really excited about being the only bowl game on TV. That was one of the reasons why we sought out to sponsor the Hawaii Bowl. You know, while we wanted to be in Hawaii, that sounds great. The ultimate rationale was, hey, we are going to be the only thing on TV on Christmas Eve when everyone is there with their families. And seeing it not happen was pretty devastating. So, you know, I'm glad we were able to step in and milk it for all it's worth. I definitely would argue that we've probably beat the dead horse 10 times over, and really run this bit into the ground, but we're sticking to it, sticking to the guns, and, you know, we're going to keep it up.
Sometimes that's all you can do. Hey, Cameron, I noticed you wanted to come up and speak. We'd love to hear from you. Cameron, you were unmuted a second ago, so just go ahead and unhit the mic button on the bottom left. And we're so used to giving technical advice in these talks, not just here, but on any venue we've ever used.
You guys going to watch the Vegas Bowl?
Are we? Absolutely. Yeah, the Vegas Bowl, first of all, I mean, it's the first year in that rad stadium they have right now. And we are absolutely hyped for that. I mean, JD, what do you think about the Vegas Bowl?
Who do you got?
Oh, it's going to be a fantastic matchup. It's going to be a really difficult one for me to pick between those two. I would probably give a slight advantage to Wisconsin, but just based off of the photos that we've already been seeing, I don't think we've had a more natural fit for the Vegas Bowl than the Arizona State Sun Devils. If you have not seen some of the photos, there's been everything from team colored showgirls to incredible trophy bowl presentations, the pregame bowl festivities that they've been having this year, all the images that have been coming out of that have been absolutely incredible. And especially with them having a new bowl sponsor. I know in the past they've had like the, I think it was like the Mako was the sponsor for them, like an oil and lube facility.
I'm old enough to remember, Sega Sports. That was actually, that was like one of the coolest sponsors in history is when Sega Sports sponsored the Vegas Bowl. But I just want to build on that. I mean, the idea of who do you trust more in Vegas? Do you trust Badgers or do you trust Devils? I know who I want in my corner, and I want absolutely. Satan.
You got to give it to JD, though. Jaden Daniels?
JD. Yes.
JD's quarterback for us at ASU.
Yeah, I think it confused our JD for a half second there.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't recall myself getting drafted onto the Sun Devils, but I'm happy to suit up. I'm happy to suit up if they need me out there on short notice.
So, Cameron, it's safe to assume you're a big Sun Devils fan yourself.
I go to ASU.
Absolutely. So what's got you excited about this game?
I got a lot of friends on the team, so huge college football fan. So it's very exciting for me. I'll be at the game. Hopefully it doesn't get canceled because of COVID. But yeah, I'm a huge ASU fan.
That's going to be a great game. I mean, I really want to see a game in that stadium. The new Raiders Stadium is just absolutely – everyone who's gone there said it's phenomenal. I mean, I've heard – one of the comparisons I heard is – because obviously the SoFi Stadium in L.A. is also fairly is also new. I've heard that one looks really cool, but as a long-term football venue – the Las Vegas Stadium where the Vegas Bowl and UNLV play and obviously the Raiders is just a phenomenal venue for sports. We sent one of our own we've sent a couple of our reporters out there to cover games, and that is by far the number one favorite stadium that opened this year. So I can imagine you're gonna have a great time. And I'm sure we hope your team does well. I mean, we try not to pick favorites, but you know, good luck ASU. And thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, Brendan, I mean, what we don't want to necessarily take up so much of your time. I know it's been about an hour since you've been on here. And I mean, we're going to still stay on. JD and I will stay on no matter what to talk college football. Whoever wants to send in a request to speak, we'd love to hear from you. But going into this, did you ever expect to have this kind of a weekend where you sort of pulled the eyes of college football towards Easy Post? I mean, your background, as you said, for those who may have missed it, is you came at this job having worked in social for the NFL for a number of years. And so here you go to a shipping API company, and then you get to have an entire weekend where you just went, I think, beyond what you ever conceived of doing football-related content. I mean, tell us more about that. I still can't believe how you turned a lemon into lemonade like that.
For sure. So when the bowl was canceled at first, you know, I thought, hey, this is amazing. I've got 4 nights left in Hawaii. This is going to be the best work trip I've ever had. And then it turned into obviously chaos and a lot of work / a lot of tweeting. But yeah, never could have imagined what ended up happening. Have been looking at analytics over the past 3 days, and our total impressions are up 230,000% month over month.
Oh my goodness.
Which is just the most outrageous stat I've ever seen. So I have absolutely submitted that email to the CEO, put together a deck, and we'll see what he says.
Now, you mentioned before, you've said that there are other events that Easy Post is going to be participating in. I know an F1 race is around the corner as well. What are some of the other events that you think you might be able to play a part in as part of this year-round strategy?
Yeah, so there will be multiple UFC events where you'll see the Easy Post logo straight on the mat in the octagon. We were just at UFC 269, and that was the first time that Easy Post logo appeared on the UFC mat. We'll continue to be on UFC events moving forward. I think the next one up is a fight night, one of the Apex fight nights. And we're also going to be running a social promotion for the one in February. I believe it's sometime early February, maybe mid February. Giving away two tickets to that Apex fight night, via an Easy Post social promotion. Pretty amazing value. I think it's worth about $6,000 to get these two tickets. It's just on a couch in a very intimate setting. I don't believe the tickets actually go on sale to the public. From what I've been told, I haven't been to a fight night personally, but I've heard that it's only like 200 to 300 people in attendance total, which seems really wild. So that's pretty exciting coming down the pipe. Also, like you said, F1. We've partnered with McLaren Racing, and you know, I'm personally hoping to get out to the UK where they're based, and just for research purposes on the Twitter, get to go to London and check out that office. So,
well, what we need to look up is how to cancel an F1 race, so you can just sort of have a field day there too.
Perfect.
But we're not going to do that. If those of you listening into this, but. I mean, to me, it's striking that a canceled bowl game could work out so well for the sponsor, but it's the weird times we live in, for sure.
They say that one of the most difficult things in life is learning how to live with winning and success, and now we have to see what happens with Easy Post when they actually have to put on an event that is actually happening.
Yeah, that's uncharted territory. We'll see how it goes.
Well, Brandon, I know you've been up here for an hour. We don't want to keep you on the line too long. But thank you so much for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, guys. I appreciate you again. Shout out to Reddit CFB. Like, you guys started this, the success of Easy Post Social and this whole 3 to 4 day. Epic run does not happen without you guys and your help amplifying our content. So much appreciated, and thanks for having me up.
We really appreciate it, man, and thank you for making it as entertaining as it was. We just took one tweet, retweeted it with a quick comment like, hey, this is really funny, and you took the ball and ran for multiple touchdowns. So
yep, gave me the green light. That's all it is.
Well, again, and listen, we really appreciate that. Yeah, and we also appreciate that MVP award as well. We look forward to seeing that trophy in all of its glory and splendor to be putting up in the offices sometime here soon.
Oh, it is coming through. Don't you worry. The trophy and the t-shirts. Just give me a mailing address and I got you guys.
All right, man. Thanks again, and have a great night and good luck.
Yep, y'all too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. And so I just, for audience, this is RCFB Talk 9, probably 11. Gosh, I can't read Roman numerals, and I'm the one who writes these things. We're going to keep on here and talk more general college football. And if you want to talk college football, feel free to send a request. We'd love to hear from you. And I know, Palmer King, you have been waiting. Please unmute yourself. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, I have just a couple of questions more. So on the bowl games, you know, everybody loves bowl season. It's a fun thing, but we've run into this wall of transfer portal slash coaches leaving slash injury slash COVID that, you know, hasn't really affected all but what, I think it was one game all year they got moved, that weird UCLA game they got played at like, or not UCLA, Southern Cal.
Yeah, USC Cal.
Yeah, it was played at like 11 after all the conference championship games, and there was like two people there. But is there, like, I think the best solution for it is we gotta move this whole early signing day coaches thing. We got to try to move that back a little bit so we can have some sort of, you know, like, normalcy, because with a lot of these games that are getting canceled recently, they have like 10, you know, they have all these guys already out, so they can only take maybe 10 to 15 COVID cases, and then they're like, look, we don't have players.
I really like that you pointed that out, because I think some people don't realize that a lot of these rosters are depleted. not because, especially Hawaii is a great example of that. And obviously they were the first bowl, the Hawaii Bowl canceled because Hawaii pulled out, but they had lost a ton of players to the transfer portal. Now, I know there's been some blame of the current coaching regime at Hawaii, but it should be said that it's been a continuing problem for them, especially when the transfer portal was introduced. I used to cover Mountain West at Mountain West Kickoff, their sort of preseason media days. And I remember Coach Rolovich, when he was there, even told said like that was a big problem for Hawaii. Like they were losing guys who were just jumping into that portal.
Yeah.
And it seemed to affect them negatively. So they were, of all the teams, the most prone, in my opinion, to get their bowl canceled because just a few people getting COVID and their roster was already depleted. Apparently with UCLA, it sounds like an entire unit was down.
Line. And I know Oregon, that game is one you got to look out for. They got 30 guys down. So if, you know, a few of theirs pop up, their game's going to be done tomorrow. And they got a big game.
So you bring up an interesting question, and it's one of those – it's one of those issues where finding a solution is going to be like the $10,000. I'm using an older reference, the $10,000 question. Sorry, I'm in my 40s and I remember a game show that doesn't even exist anymore. But you know, how do you make it so? Because I mean, I'm personally of the opinion that it's nice to have the transfer portal at least to give college students a bit of, you know, and you get what I'm saying. Because the coaches could leave at any time, and we don't.
Yeah,
with
if
that
the coaches
for
can
for
leave, and any
decades.
Other student can leave at any time, why can't players leave? I agree with that, yes.
Exactly. So, but at the same time, I mean, these movements are just being completely magnified by COVID. And here, losing a couple of guys and suddenly a team has to pull out of the bowl game. And clearly that's not great for all involved. I mean, and obviously you feel bad for student athletes on both teams and the coaches and the fans. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Granted, driving all the way to San Diego, I don't feel as much – my heart doesn't necessarily go out to the Memphis fans who made it out to Hawaii or the North Carolina State fans. If it had been the Bowl in Detroit, I might have been a little bit more, man, I'm sorry.
But just the way – because college baseball, they had that whole chaotic thing with what they were one win away from the championship.
Yes, and that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so North Carolina State, that ended up being a whole huge deal because they were, as you said correctly, one win away from getting into the finals. Vanderbilt had tied it up with them in the semifinals. North Carolina State ended up having a COVID outbreak, and they ended up forfeiting their portion so that Vanderbilt ended up playing Mississippi State in the final up in Omaha. But it's another thing that's also very interesting with these bowl games. We've seen opportunities like the Gator Bowl when administrators want to get together and want to make something happen. They can make something happen. We saw that the Gator Bowl got delayed. They brought in Rutgers as an extra person. But we also see things happen such as with Omaha. I'm close with a couple of folks who were actually on the college baseball squads, and they said one big issue that they had was ESPN did not have the flexibility to change their window slots for those finals.
I think that's going to be big for these bowl games too, because ESPN owns all of them.
Yes, ironically enough, of the bowl games that ESPN
I think Rachel tweeted that out.
Yes, so the Arizona Bowl, that game got canceled. That was not owned by ESPN. The Holiday Bowl canceled today.
I wanted that game so bad. Mm-hmm. The guys jumping out of – where they were going to have a guy jump out of an airplane, and then they were going to have some crazy halftime.
Yeah, I think he was supposed to land and then sing the national anthem. It was going to be something else. I mean, Barstool was going out for that. And I'll credit them. They were really trying to make that interesting, and they were going to – I don't believe – what was it? It was going to be broadcast. I can't remember.
It was
going to
be on their website.
On their website, and I don't know if they were using purely on the website via YouTube, but regardless, I mean, it was nice that they were trying to do it. And then, unfortunately, we were talking about non-ESPN bowls. They got poached by one of the three non-ESPN bowls because that's the Sun Bowl. The Sun Bowl's been on CBS forever.
Yeah.
And they offer a lot more money.
Yeah, they offer a lot. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, I personally think North Carolina State should hang out a little bit longer in San Diego just in case Ohio State can't make the Rose Bowl because it seems like there could be that. Or who knows, maybe Utah can, but Utah seems really hell-bent on making the Rose Bowl because this is their first one. And so for them, it's a really special thing. While for Ohio State, we're already seeing key players say they're not going to play in it. They're playing for the draft. So, I mean, I think North Carolina State really should just sort of stick around Southern California and just see if maybe they're going to get the most unexpected Rose Bowl bid in history, because it could happen.
Yeah. And that would be a logical placement. They got, what, 9 wins? It wouldn't be the best.
Yeah, there's been worse teams in the Rose Bowl, that's for sure. Stanford is one that once got there with limped in with like 8 wins one season, I remember.
Yeah. Lest we forget the 7-win Wisconsin team that got in. I think it was because Ohio State had the sanctions on them. Penn State had sanctions on them. So the 7-5 Wisconsin team ended up getting to go to the Rose Bowl that one year. I think it was 2012.
I think
that sounds right. Yeah, there was a chance one year, the year before in 2011, that a losing or barely like 6-win UCLA team might have made it because they, again, USC was forbidden from playing in the title game. They clobbered, you know, UCLA 50-0 that final week of the season. Then UCLA went into the Pac-12 title game because USC couldn't go. And if they had managed to win, they would have gone to the Rose Bowl. But instead they lost and still went to a bowl game. So I believe they became the first team to ever finish 6-8 since they had added that 12th regular season game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping our game does not get canceled. I'm a Gamecock fan. We have the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Gosh, we so hope that game doesn't get canceled. Because last night, we had...
There was a little rumor going around on some Gamecock boards today that was like, sound the sirens, but then our athletic director had to come out and be like, no, we're good.
That's Listen, good there's a Mayo... Director. Yes.
That's a great athletic director.
But more importantly, you are absolutely right on all the games that need to happen. The Mayo Bowl absolutely has to happen because we need either Mac Brown or Shane Beamer to be strapped down to that Mayo throne and covered in mayonnaise.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going. I got my tickets for Christmas, and I can't wait.
And I hope that you get to have the best seat in the house when this mayonnaise dunking is happening. Strongly recommend photos. Strongly recommend videos. Send them our way. We would love to see those.
All right. I'll try to get those. You know, I heard them say they're doing it after the game, so I hope, like, TV stays on for it. God, no, that's
we are too. We are too. We actually asked their social media guy, Miller, who was on last night, about that. And I believe it'll be filmed for certain. I think at worst case scenario, it'll end up on their Twitter. And gosh, that'll be massively shared on every possible social media. But it was funny. He had tipped me off earlier when I in conversations before we had him on that there was all this pushback from Carolina because it's the Panthers stadium.
Yeah.
And so they were being like, you can't dump it on our field. There is, if even a drop of that mayo gets on our field, we are basically going to kill you. Like, not quite that exact phrase. Yeah. But so they had to come up with all these. He wasn't joking when he said it took 14 months to plant it. They had to come up with all these crazy solutions.
That.
Because I was like, when he told me, like, why can't you just put a tarp on the field, like a really big tarp, like a Baylor tarp? That's an old reference to Baylor's old stadium, but like a really big tarp and just put a throne in a chair in the middle and dunk the guy. They're like, no, it had to be on concrete away from the field because the Panthers were absolutely adamant that no mayo touched that field.
Wow. I'm surprised the Panthers of all teams were so against, I mean, not an offense to them. They have not had a good season at all. You know, it seems like maybe a little bit of mayo.
Well, it's the no fun league in certain ways.
I'm sure Roger Goodell's probably.
They're very buttoned up. It's not something they're going to quite do yet. Give them 10 years and then they'll probably loosen up, but they're always a little bit behind kind of the wilder, wackier kind of corners of college football fandom, which I think makes us more fun to watch and more fun to experience.
Me too. Me and my friends have had many debates on that.
Speaking of the more fun league, I do want to just break in with this quick little update from Minnesota, West Virginia. If you've not been having this in your background, just like I have, first and foremost, Minnesota is the first one on the board, thanks to a blessed blessed short run from the 6'9", 380-pound offensive lineman, Daniel Faalele, of Minnesota, going in and scoring. I believe he is now officially the largest human to score in a college football bowl game. But on top of that, Minnesota ran a fake extra point to successfully get a two-point conversion. You tell me when you're ever going to see that in the NFL. Long live our stupid, silly sport.
That is awesome. I've had it on in the background. I saw the touchdown. I did not see the extra point. But I do see that it is 8-0.
So, hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate problem. It. All right, man.
No problem.
Hey,
thanks
Dalton,
for you
up. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello. I'm a Gamecock fan as well. So, you know, I'm going to be at the bowl game on Thursday. Looking forward to it. May the mayonnaise flow and be dumped on the winning coach. And also may the winning coach be Shane Beamer in this situation. But
I have to say, Shane had one of the best reactions to the idea of being dunked by Mayo. I don't know if you saw those quotes that appeared.
Or he said,
on ESPN.
I'm not a Mayo guy. Yeah. I saw that.
And then I have to give Mac Brown credit. Like, I'll be hit by a frying pan if that means we win. I mean, he's just the more he I have to say, ever since Mac Brown left Texas and joined ESPN, we noticed at RCFB particularly because we followed him on Twitter, and he followed us, and we were like, okay. You know, didn't expect an older, you know, more staid coach like him to be following our kind of weird brand of humor. But we realized real quick he is, like, a lot more fun than his – I think just – you see the way he looks. He looks proper. But he's got a heck of a sense of humor in him, and I got to give him credit for that. I never saw that coming until he joined ESPN and started kind of just – voicing himself on Twitter because it was he's earnest. Whenever he'd comment on Twitter, it was earnest. He'd answer just about any question anyone would send to him. He doesn't do it now because he's obviously busy being a coach again. But that struck me. I have to give a lot of credit to Mac Brown. But again, Beamer's answer to that question of being doused with mayo, we have this internal conversation because, you know, mayo can be a slightly polarizing topic. Some people like it. Some people absolutely loathe it. There's a couple of us on our team within Reddit who aren't huge fans of mayo, and some of us are huge fans. Where do you fall on that, Dalton?
I like mayonnaise, but, you know, people want to kill me when I say this, but, like, I'm a Miracle Whip guy. I like it Ooh. On my sandwiches as a condiment. That may be a controversial opinion. But yeah.
We could always ask you what your favorite type of barbecue is, then we can really start a holy war.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't mind mayonnaise. You know, Duke's mayonnaise is good. Out of all the mayonnaises, is probably the best one. So, you know, we're excited here in Gamecock Nation to have the Superior Mayonnaise be sponsoring our bowl game this Saturday or this Thursday. And I am getting reports that there are people within the athletics department saying that the game is a go for Thursday. So we're pretty much going to have a Duke's Mayo Bowl. I feel pretty confident.
We are so with you on that, Dalton. We want to see that game. I mean, for a lot of reasons, but we've always been friends with that bowl game since they were back since when they were the Belk Bowl. And up until now, because they're always willing to try new and fun things to make college football a better place. So good luck to the Gamecocks, and you know, we'll say good luck to the Tar Heels. We have to play both sides.
Yeah, so one thing I'd like to talk about sort of is I know we've hit this topic a lot, but sort of the opt-outs. I think the one of the biggest reasons – you hit on this a little bit with the transfer portal, but one of the biggest reasons why these COVID, you know – protocols or these COVID, you know, virus, whatever, quarantine things are hitting the bowl season so hard is because of opt-outs and other things like that. I mean, I'm just wondering who comes up with the NCAA's like COVID protocols, because it seems to me that Omicron is incredibly transmissible. So pretty much everybody's going to get Omicron at some point. Why are we, you know, sidelining people who are asymptomatic with it, who are vaccinated in a lot of these cases?
Well, you bring up a really important, topic, and the timing with this new variant couldn't be, I think, worse in terms of the college football bowl season. Obviously, again, we want to see as many games take place as possible. And as we were just talking about earlier, the fact that we have the transfer portal, which we all agree, I think, generally speaking, is great for college athletes to give them kind of the same footing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good for programs like South Carolina and other, non-blue blood programs, because obviously we landed Spencer Rattler and a bunch of other big transfer guys. So, I think the transfer portal is generally a good thing for college football, obviously. It has helped us out a lot. And I think, coaches like Shane Beamer and other people who know how to other Power Five coaches who know how to leverage the transfer portal is helpful. But in a lot of these situations with the opt-outs and with COVID, the transfer portal has not helped, because, we're entering a situation in which the Rose Bowl may not even be played on New Year's Day, which is, obviously a very big deal.
And I agree with you. We've sort of reached a situation where no one would have anticipated. Obviously, having the transfer portal was great for players, and we still think it's a great thing, but we're now dealing with this completely unexpected Omicron variant, which is just raging through, that no one had anticipated. Obviously, you can't predict something like that. I think, hopefully, and I just want to say this right now, we're hoping those playoff teams are in a very, very tight bubble right now, because that's the last thing we want to see is one of the semifinals being canceled. Although they have scenarios for what they would do in those situations. But we have a couple of reporters who are covering each semifinal, and I'm personally heading over to the national championship in Indianapolis, and I'd like to see it played, as I'm sure many of you would. But with games like the Belk Bowl, and by the way, thank you for telling us that it sounds like South Carolina is absolutely on board with going through with the game that's coming up. And I'm sure that'll be exciting for everyone who gets to see that particular bowl game, because North Carolina versus South Carolina is always going to be a good matchup, in my opinion. But I think this combination, it's tough. I mean, the NCAA, I'm not entirely sure how they're, and I apologize, I haven't looked it up before this particular talk. They are trying to use, I imagine, the what was the consensus approach at the time they created their policy, but they're a big, fairly bloated organization. I think people don't recognize that they're not just representing the FBS programs. They're representing all the D2, D3 programs as well. So moving them is a very slow and onerous process. I am, and I'm going to say this just to make this point. I'm an adjunct at a university. I've been that. I've taught for 10 years at the University of Minnesota. Anyone who's been to a faculty meeting any place on the planet will tell you that universities move in a really slow, miserable manner. So, when you get the organization that represents all universities, it's not going to be nimble. It's not going to be fast. And I am glad to see the SEC has decided to adopt some of these new kind of shortened isolation, quarantine. I'm not using the right phraseology here. JD, maybe you got my back on this one, but I mean, they're allowing for less isolation to, I believe I just read that, who's the person that just got allowed to join the team in time for the
That would be Bill O'Brien and the offensive line coach, which I believe is Doug Marrone.
So again, the SEC is being extra proactive on this. Mm-hmm. And some people will cynically say, well, it's because they want to, win football games. But I mean, whatever. I mean, who cares? They're being proactive. The CDC came down with new guidelines, and the SEC jumped right on it like a sophisticated entity would. They have administrators who want to make it work. So, and I'm not saying that to diss the others. I think we had this internal conversation, and I apologize to bore you with this, but when we were hearing about some of the bowl games that got canceled, Fenway Bowl in particular. So the Fenway Bowl, not the most sexy bowl in the universe, as well as the Armed Forces Bowl. And, obviously SMU got kind of hosed there because they were heading up to play UVA in Fenway in Boston. UVA has to cancel, so SMU is kind of stranded and then drives back, can't schedule a bowl. Yet at the same time, on the same day, the Armed Forces Bowl gets canceled. So once again, we've got two teams. BC canceled their game, so you have a free team over in for that particular game, and they couldn't come up with a solution. It just seemed natural that you could have, I believe it was ECU up there, it wouldn't work. And I get that. I mean, maybe the money didn't work out, but it was striking to hear people. We had this internal debate because we're like, I don't blame the players. I don't blame the coaches. All of this comes from administrators and how flexible they are. Now, I'm not blaming an administrator for canceling a team's participation because their school has some rules set out. That's something where they're obligated to do what their school has set up. But I when teams that are available can't seem to come up to an agreement, I mean, we just watched Central Michigan decide, okay, we will move from Tucson to El Paso. Now, granted, those are fairly close-ish. I don't want to say close because anyone who's driven between, that's actually a really long drive. But, you know.
It's a four-hour drive, but it is a boring four-hour drive.
Oh, it is like driving across the Dakotas. And I have done that for the record. It is not an exciting drive. But they made it work. And that's why, again, we've been saying NC State, hang out in San Diego for a couple of days and see if Ohio State's going to make that Rose Bowl, because it certainly feels like if a team is going to pull out of that Rose Bowl, it's going to be Ohio State, because they're losing players who are opting out. And if a COVID strike hits them, because both teams decided to go to Disneyland, by the way, Disneyland was on, but then Lowry's, the famous beef bowl, they always do this before the Rose Bowl, which team can eat the most prime rib. Lowry's itself said, we don't want to host this. And I think they just didn't want to have that associated that if one of the teams had to cancel, they're going to be like, oh, it's the Beef Bowl's fault. I think they just wanted, let Disneyland worry about that one. But, Mickey Mouse can handle it. We are Lowry's. This is our bread and butter, quite literally.
Is the Pac-12 in charge of the Rose Bowl and the Holiday Bowl? Because the Holiday Bowl is less big than the Rose Bowl. It's not.
They're not in charge of it. They're not in charge of the Rose Bowl. It's so funny because it's so old. It is the first bowl, and it's run by the Tournament of Roses. And it's kind of I'm not going to get too sidetracked here, but if you think about bowl games, I mean, they predate the NCAA. They predate the real idea of even crowning a national champion in the traditional sense. It was literally a marketing idea. The Tournament of Roses, how do we get people to move to Pasadena? If you think about L.A. in 1880, L.A. had 20,000 people. 20 years later, 1901, they have the first Tournament of Roses. Pasadena is right next to Los Angeles. They would have, in the 1800s, a bunch of wagons, because obviously no cars, wagons, decorated with roses. Those pictures would get published in the Midwest, on the East Coast. People would go, wow, it's the day after New Year's, and look at this. They have a flowers in bloom in Pasadena. I'm going to move there. I mean, that's really the entire essence of the Tournament of Roses and how they started. So they decided to host a bowl game, 1901. Stanford got so wrecked by Michigan that they actually didn't do a game for like 10 years afterwards. But that was how bowl games were born. But the Tournament of Roses has historically been the one to run that Rose Bowl. And I forgot who exactly runs the Holiday Bowl. We deal with the Holiday Bowl. They're really cool people. The Holiday Bowl is one of the loosest run bowl games we've ever run into. When we ask for information, it's like one guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll find it. It's not like dealing. Some of the bowl games, they're not as formal as you'd expect them to be.
It does seem kind of weird, though, that you have players like, the whole thing with UCLA taking a team vote. And then their players coming up on Twitter saying, no, we didn't take a team vote. If you guys want to come out to the parking lot, we'll play you
that
right
now. That was an amazing tweet. Yes, I agree with you. Because a North Carolina State player said, don't blame us. UCLA took a team vote. And then the UCLA quarterback replied to him and said, we didn't take a team vote. Who are you talking about? Let's play in the parking lot of the hotel. And I loved it because somebody posted one of those NFL Street covers from a really limited video game series that came out, the idea of playing football, in a totally non-football environment. I thought that was glorious. I mean, I'm old enough to remember street sports football on the Commodore 64, but I'm not going to drag all of you into my youth.
Well, I do want to say, at least, though, to kind of steer us back into that, as of 8:46 p.m., there have been reports, this is a quote directly from some of the Holiday Bowl officials, they do not want to cancel the game officially until they have exhausted every opportunity to find a replacement team. We are working closely with Boo Corrigan, who's the athletic director at North Carolina State, and his great athletic staff at North Carolina State, and they are working on trying to find a new opponent for North Carolina State. So how this is going to work out will still remain to be seen. But as of right now, the Holiday Bowl is not officially canceled. It just will not be featuring UCLA. We'll see what happens with that other opponent. But we've said it before and we'll say it again. North Carolina State, Wolfpack, might as well hang out in California until every domino has fallen.
You know, I just want to give a quick update on the Guarantee Rate Bowl, which I'd rather call the Cactus Bowl or the Copper Bowl, because that was what it was years ago.
Or the Cheez-It Bowl, as God intended. Scored.
West Virginia has scored. They went for 2 points and failed. So Minnesota, which had that big man touchdown followed by a two-point conversion, leads 8-6 right now in that bowl game happening in Phoenix. But Dalton, you know, thank you so much. We really appreciated talking to you about all of that stuff. And we want to welcome anyone else who would love to come chat with us. Just send a request. We enjoy talking to all of you.
No problem, man. You guys have a good one. You know, may the mayo flow on Thursday and Spurs up. South Carolina is the only Carolina that matters.
May the mayo flow and may Carolina win.
Absolutely. One of the Carolinas will win. And we're looking forward to that game. That's going to be a fun one. You know, JD, if anyone wants to come talk with us, feel free to send us a request and we'll hear from you. But JD, what other items in the news? Obviously, today was dominated by the Holiday Bowl canceling right before the game kicked off. But what are some of your thoughts on what's been happening in college football right now?
Well, a couple of things that I'm very much looking forward to is I know that we've talked a little bit about being scared about Oregon possibly not making an Alamo Bowl, but hey, I'm here hoping that we have no last minute cancellations because I'll be out covering the Alamo Bowl tomorrow for Reddit CFB. I'm really looking forward to going down to San Antonio yet again, get a couple of drinks down on the Riverwalk, go into an incredible tailgating environment out near the Alamo Dome, and be able to see a great game between Oregon and Oklahoma with two types of interim coaches in there. Obviously, you've got Oregon with Mario Cristobal now over at Miami. You have Lincoln Riley, who's skedaddled off to USC. You've got Bob Stoops coaching in a football game again. I'm really excited to see that game tomorrow, and I'm really hoping that we get to see a full-staffed team on that. Now, on top of that, I'm also looking forward to going out to the Sun Bowl on New Year's Eve. I will also be out there reporting for Reddit CFB. A new opponent with Washington State now taking on the Central Michigan Chippewas. Also really excited for that game. Very excited to see that El Paso environment, all the beautiful architecture out there. And then, of course, the beautiful Sun Bowl itself. Very, very excited to see those games coming up. Now, I know that you mentioned a couple of news items that have come up today. One that caught my eye specifically, LSU has that new defensive coordinator. And that would be the linebackers coach who is currently coaching with the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought it was very peculiar with that hire, not specifically because of the pedigree or his experience in the SEC, which, of course, he's done stuff all the way out in Kentucky, made Josh Allen a great draft recruit. But I'm really intrigued with the fact that they are bringing somebody in from the NFL, and they've already announced that he is not going to actually coach at LSU until that season is done. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs are having a heck of a season right now, and I'm really curious to see how long LSU will be willing to be patient for this hire and this defensive coordinator. I know Tyrann Mathieu, the famous defensive back from LSU and a member of that Super Bowl winning team in Kansas City, had a huge endorsement of the hire. But I'm very fascinated because, Bobak, I think it's been a while since we've seen a college program say, hey, we're going to poach somebody from the NFL and we're willing to wait until he's done. I've seen a couple of ones where, you know, somebody's been fired and then comes on or has retired and can come on or has had a year off and they can come on. But it's been a while since I've seen a hiring where somebody says, hey, we're going to wait until the end of the NFL season and then we can start working on stuff in January or February.
Well, I think the only situation where that might even possibly work would be when you have someone at a level like a coordinator at the highest possible level. I mean, you couldn't do a head coach, because that's come up sometimes where teams have considered hiring a head coach. One of the, I mean, again, and if you have never heard me say this before, if you have, I apologize, but I'm a USC alumnus, and I've been around long enough to remember the chaos of trying to hire a coach in what was 2001, when USC tried, at the end of the 2000 season, they fired Paul Hackett. They went through three different head coaches that said no. Bilotti over at Oregon, Dennis Erickson, who at the time was at Oregon State, and then, speaking of NFL, Mike Riley, who said he couldn't, he was doomed. Everyone knew he was doomed. He was just doing terribly with the San Diego Chargers. But he said, I am going to stay with the Chargers until the end of the season or until they fire me. And USC got impatient, so went with their fourth choice, who of course ended up being Pete Carroll. But that tells you why Lincoln Riley was such a shock for USC fans, because we're used to only succeeding when we fail. And hiring a head coach. And now I've jinxed myself. I know the Trojans are going to probably tank with Lincoln Riley at the rate I've gone. But, you know, we'll see. But I agree with you. I think only a coordinator could possibly be the highest level coach you could go with and be patient to wait until their season is done. I can imagine there will still be emails that will be sent to try and keep coordinators below him on the defensive front on the same page. But it'll be curious to see how that goes. And if you really want that talent, you're willing to make some pretty good deals. I mean, it was just like what's happening in Minnesota right now. They hired an offensive coordinator who's returning to them. And I apologize, it's Kirk Soroka. And he was just at West Virginia, who they are playing tonight. So they agreed he would not join the staff of Minnesota until this bowl game is done, because he was a offensive, I believe, he wasn't an offensive coordinator. He was an offensive assistant giving feedback to the West Virginia offense. So they agreed to allow him to, they would wait, Minnesota agreed to wait until after the bowl game to put him on the staff permanently. But Andrew, I apologize. We just let you up. We'd love to hear from you. Again, any of you out there who want to join in the conversation, we'd love hearing from you.
Evening, guys. Yeah, pleasure to be part of the conversation.
Pleasure to have you on board.
So, I'm just anxiously anticipating getting on a flight on Thursday, early Thursday morning, and heading down to Miami to watch my Wolverines take on the Georgia Bulldogs. So, just hoping that logistically my flight doesn't get canceled, and that everybody's healthy, and that the game just goes on and we see who the better team is.
What an exciting time to be a Wolverines fan. I mean, how was it for you? I mean, obviously years have gone where you've heard lots of folks in the college football media, as well as rivals, kind of tease you all about Harbaugh and will he actually pan out as the savior as he was when he was first hired. What has this been like for you, particularly this last month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, going from the game in East Lansing, which I had the privilege to go to, the high highs of early on in that game, and then, you know, the low lows and all of the criticism, to them believing in their team and the culture that Harbaugh and the player led movement this season, between guys like Vestardis, Hutch, and McNamara, just a really strong like commitment to one another, and believing their goals are still in front of them, taking it one game at a time, getting through that gritty Penn State game. I mean, every step of the way, it just got better every game. It's hard to even put into words like what it was like to watch them beat Ohio State, and then even after that to go to Indy and watch them not just eke out a win, but really in the second half blow it open. I was still trying to wrap my head around the game the week before. And so it's just kind of like, it feels a lot like partly like playing like with house money, just completely blowing all of our expectations away. But, you know, seeing the opportunity for Jim and the coaching staff and this amazing team to kind of put something really magical together. If they string together just a couple more wins, I mean, it's, I just can't even imagine, to see Harbaugh go from 2-4 last season, was really hard. And to see this, there's just not a whole lot of words that can capture, you know, the redemptive arc that kind of we're all living now as part of the Wolverine Nation.
So where are you, I mean, not to put a concern over all of this, but with Dax Hill, where are we at with Dax Hill right now? Is he going to, I know he didn't make the initial trip, and it's confusing now because the CFP added extra rules, and some of the media today kind of it was interesting to watch. We find it fascinating to watch media react to other media, which I'm sure is a very dry subject to most general fans. But there was a situation where, you know, the CFP had announced to all of us in the media, and we are a part of that, which is shocking to say sometimes. But, you know, here are the rules that are going to be for the CFP in recognition that that the Omicron variant is kind of spreading. Here's how we'll handle cancellations, and here are how we're going to avoid them. So they went through a whole list of things. Like, they're keeping the press away from the players, and I get why. I mean, I'm a total believer in press access for the most part, but this year they're like, you're not going near any players.
Right.
No one's going near anybody. No one's on the field. You're not going near Jack, okay? So I get why, but so a lot of the reports that are coming through, and for example, I see a lot of the Cotton Bowl Classics press releases. They're trying to make up for that by reporting what happens at the Alabama practice, at the Cincinnati practice, just so that the media will know what they're missing because they can't go near the players. But I mean, with Dax Hill, I know that the way they were trying to even come up with that was he didn't make the flight. But I mean, what are your concerns there? I mean, what, as a Michigan fan?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a critical part of our secondary, and just, I mean, we're expecting that he's going to be, you know, in the league next year as a pro. I mean, he's just been so critical as a part of our team, and especially against teams like Ohio State in that win. I think we're trying to maintain like a level of optimism from what I've seen about the kind of impact. Assuming that he won't play, the main challenge against Georgia is probably not going to be through the air, based on, you know, Stetson Bennett isn't CJ Stroud. He isn't, you know, a Heisman candidate, but at the same time, taking seriously, like we want to be able to shut down wherever we can, have no gaps in our defense that they could exploit. So having him there, having him not there is kind of, I don't know. I'm kind of a little bit anxious, but trying to stay positive. And I'd seen pretty much everybody else kind of feeling the same way, like, hey, he's a critical piece, but at the same time, you know, looking at the matchup, maybe it might not be like make or break. We've got a deep secondary, guys that can fill in. I'm just trying to, you know, take it in, and maybe even with the CDC 5-day thing, I don't know how that affects. You mentioned the CFP rules. I really don't know the exact protocol. So if you could enlighten me and the rest of us on that, like, I'd be really interested to hear. But,
well, the CFP hasn't said much on that. I think they're going with what the teams are going with for the most part. It was the SEC that had already upgraded their rules. And, you know, I think as the SEC goes, the others will follow. So I'm sure we'll see the Big Ten, at the very least, competitively decide that they're going to see how quickly they can follow the SEC on upgrading their own protocols to follow that latest CDC guideline that came out yesterday. But
yeah,
I think it's going to be interesting. I think the opportunity for to see which players step up will be amazing. And it's what makes college football, you know, what it is. But Andrew, we really appreciate you joining us. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, have a great evening. Thanks for putting this together.
Yeah, good luck. And we hope you have a safe trip to Miami. We hope your flight doesn't get canceled. And the Orange Bowl is an exciting experience, regardless of who's playing. But I know for you, it's personal. So good luck with that. And we hope you enjoy your time.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Go Blue.
Yeah, take care. Hey, Brad, care. We are going ahead and adding you to our conversation. We'd love to hear from you. It looks like you might have had a minor technical difficulty there, so we'll wait for you to rejoin us. JD, before we move on, I just wanted to say a few words about the Birmingham Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, please.
Yeah, so that was, you know, it's a classic. I mean, the SEC, I mean, all the P5 programs have had kind of a clumsy start to the beginning of the bowl season. And we're going to finally see one of them win tonight, only because we have two P5 programs playing each other, with West Virginia and Minnesota right now. And we would have had another, but of course UCLA had to back out.
Hey. We already had a winner with Texas Tech earlier today, getting that win over Mississippi State. And I don't think the irony should be lost on any of us that the first Power 5 team to win a bowl game in this bowl season was one that fired their head coach in October.
And the former Hawaii head coach who we were talking about earlier, too. I mean, boy, Wazoo's season is just – I'm sorry, Wazoo. oh, my God. Texas Tech season. Sorry. No. I mean, because I was shocked they fired him. I was absolutely – I didn't expect him to flop quite as badly as he did at Texas Tech, because I thought there was – I mean, at Utah State, he was doing great, and I'm sure he'll get hired again somewhere. But yeah, Texas Tech taking – I mean, you can't help but ask saying Texas Tech took Mississippi State to the shed. I mean, with all the situations there. And we love Mike Leach as a personality. I mean, he was one of the first head coaches to ever agree to do an AMA on RCFB. And he's done two of them, and they're extremely entertaining. I remember the second time we hosted him, this is years ago, actually, at this point, he wanted to do an AMA and Ask Me Anything on Reddit, where he answered questions from people. And there was a group of users that sat down and like brainstormed really complicated questions to ask him about football, about strategy. And he skipped over all of them. He just went for the fun questions, like asking him about, you know, his love of Geronimo, or asking him, you know, kind of off-the-wall questions. And I told people, like, that's who he is. Have you ever heard the guy give an interview? He's a smart guy. He went to law school. He went to all these things. I mean, his brain is all over the place. He's really good at college football, but he's a fully realized personality. Whether you agree with his views or not, he's definitely a colorful guy, and has got the brains to back it up. But, but unfortunately, I'm wondering how – after all that conversation you gave about, you know, he's obviously got a real anger with Texas Tech. He feels Texas Tech screwed him out of his contract and money they owe him. And didn't matter on the football field, Texas Tech took him to task.
Yeah, Texas Tech treated him in the Liberty Bowl today, just like they have with every court date that he's had about that buyout settlement from 2009. But Texas Tech, obviously, getting that huge win. They also got a win earlier this year over Houston, who did win that Birmingham Bowl today against Auburn. I know that for Houston, ending a season, I believe it's 12-2 for the record. Their only losses were to Texas Tech to start the year, and then to the playoff participants of Cincinnati, who ended up winning the AAC, but they went otherwise undefeated in the AAC. They beat a SEC opponent in their bowl game. I feel, especially after the first year of the Dana Holgorsen experiment, it was always strange to see a guy willingly step down from a Power 5 program to a G5 program. But now where he's gotten everything turned around, It's kind of amazing to see what Houston is doing, and especially the kind of momentum that they have as they're trying to transition up into the Big 12. I think this game is a fantastic addition to their trophy case, if anything else, because the trophy itself is magnificent.
That big metal butt. Oh,
the big metal butt.
If you've never seen the Birmingham Bowl trophy, look it up. It has got a lot of commentary about it, because apparently it is a smaller version of a very large statue, the biggest statue, I believe, made of iron, that's above the Birmingham town, kind of representing the iron industry. But this thing is basically, you know, all metal, glorious, you know, got an apron on, but a leather apron and no pants. So on the back of this trophy, you've got the most magnificent metal butt you've ever seen. And it was funny, too, because Dan Holgorsen tweeted a photo of him on the plane back to Houston with the trophy next to him. Everyone was like, well, turn the trophy around, coach. Also, I didn't realize how large the trophy was.
Yes.
Until that picture was – and again, look on Twitter on Dana Holgorsen's account. We retweeted it much earlier this evening. But it is enormous. It took up the entire coach seat next to him. I did not realize the statue is as large as it is. It is a glorious trophy. And if you are in the Houston area and they put that thing on display, you got to go see it. It is a piece of work. Because some of the trophies are downright awful. But that one is glorious in every possible way.
Yes, it's absolutely incredible, and it's one of the results that we saw from earlier today. Another result that we saw was when we were talking about Power 5 teams having losing streaks in this year's bowl games, Air Force Falcons getting the job done against Louisville in the First Responders Bowl up in Dallas. It's always wild to see a triple option team succeed. I think it's always fantastic when we see one of these military academies doing so well, but it's also jarring of, I know that they are the Air Force and I know what their domain is supposed to be, but seeing them go off and win games by passing the ball, somehow that just seems unpatriotic. Everything should be done on the triple option on the ground. Just a little bit jarring to see so many passing touchdowns in this one.
Absolutely. And by the way, someone just shared with us another great photo of Holgorsen and the trophy. We're going to just quickly quote tweet this so that you can see it. This is the life. I mean, I have personally had a fun interaction with Dana Holgorsen years ago when he was at West Virginia, and I asked him a question at Big 12 Media Days, and he actually just stopped the whole Q&A and told me he loved my shirt, which was kind of an amusing moment. But he's just that kind of guy. He's like, you look like you belong in, I can't remember what he said, but like on the Gulf Coast, basically. So he's got that kind of mentality. That kind of just sort of, you can tell he's a person who found a job he loves and he's having fun playing it, you know, fun doing it. I mean, Nick Saban found a job he's great at, but I don't dare say he's having fun because I'm afraid he'd bite me. But
well, it's a different kind of fun, a different kind of fun for him.
He's having fun. Life is fun for him. So we just shot that out on our Twitter account. If you haven't seen the trophy, it doesn't show the behind, but it is a lot bigger than you expect it to be. But that is a fun trophy out there. Again, if you want to, we have someone who wanted to join in with the conversation. Sam, we just added you to the conversation. Unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, we lost him. Oh, that's so funny. We've had that luck with Twitter tonight. We think we've lost half the callers we've let up. But
hey, we're out here. We're trying.
We're trying. All right, Minnesota has added another score. They are up 15-6.
Incredibly normal football score. Incredibly normal
football score. You know, all we need are a couple of safeties, and it'll be there. But we are enjoying this bowl season as much as the rest of you. You know, hey Sam, I see you're back. I'm going to add you again. Sometimes the Twitter apps act a little weird. Feel free to unmute yourself. Right. We'd love to hear from you.
Sorry, I just had a question. Who would you pick out of the transfer portal to be the most likely QB at Nebraska next?
Ooh,
wow, that's a great one.
Ooh, let's see. I did see that Lucas Johnson, the quarterback for San Diego State, who threw for more than 300 yards in the Frisco Bowl fairly recently against UTSA. He just put his name into the portal today. I could see that as a very possible landing point. I sincerely thought that we might end up seeing Bo Nix up at Nebraska before he announced that he was headed to Oregon. But looking at the wide variety of quarterbacks that you now have available in the transfer portal, I'm sure Nebraska can and should find somebody. I think that's going to be the number one thing that Scott Frost is going to have, especially with his new offensive coordinator pulling in Mark Whipple out from Pitt to come and coach over at Nebraska. I think he has an incredible opportunity in front of him to mold someone in the same way that they did with Kenny Pickett this year, because I don't think anybody had Kenny Pickett on the Heisman finalist list at the start of this season, but then he turned out this incredible statistical year. And knowing that that mind is now going to be at Nebraska, I think this is a great opportunity for Big Red to actually go out and pull a great quarterback out of that transfer portal. And as we've seen, we've got a couple of great options, including Johnson out of San Diego State and quite a few others as well.
Yeah, I just think it's a great landing spot, and I wouldn't be surprised why more QBs shouldn't be interested in going to Nebraska. So I just thought I'd bring that up. I've also heard Casey Thompson might be a possibility. I think that'd be interesting as well.
Absolutely. Nebraska always did really strongly when they had that Texas pipeline. I do know that there should be, I believe, Chuba Purdy from Florida State is somewhere on that radar for Nebraska as well. I could see that as a very realistic possibility for Nebraska and the Cornhuskers as well.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for bringing that up.
Hey, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, we really appreciate
you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, JD, you know, it's been an evening. I know we've been up for a while. It was great to be joined by Brendan and talking about the easy post. I keep on a clip the easy point, but the easy post Hawaii Bowl. And as exciting as that was to hear from him, and those of you who may have missed it, this will be recorded, and you can always hear how that went. He was able to give out the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl chain, which originally was their cool idea. They were hoping that turnover chain, which they believe was the first time a bowl sponsor had ever created a turnover chain, would be their big social media impact. And then, lo and behold, their bowl gets canceled. So he decided to make a flippant tweet. We saw it. And I'll say this. When we saw that Easy Post tweet, I felt like weird. They had made it an hour before we saw it. And with 1,000 followers, they had zero interactions. There were no retweets, no likes. And I'm like, this is actually really funny. So I remember I did a quote tweet, hey, this is really funny. And he just started running with it. I even sent him a quick DM. I'm like, hey, I don't know who you are, but this is a really funny tweet. We hope we give you a boost. And then the dude ran with it. I mean, it's like what anybody hopes. I mean, I am an adjunct professor. I've done that for a while, and that's not to boast, but it's like what you hope with a student would do. It's like, oh my God, this guy's actually running with this. So that made life, I think, better for the college football Twitter sphere. Just see how wacky that got. And I'm glad we were able to give that. Congratulations, Fuchsia. The super Hawaii fan who got that turnover chain. We're really excited for you. And gosh, we hope no more bowls get canceled. I think all of us hope that. But today was brutal seeing the Holiday Bowl get canceled just hours before it was to kick off. I remember, and I said it earlier tonight, we had a reporter who was going to be covering that game. He checked out of work and then found out the game he was covering was canceled literally minutes after he got out of work. Early. So hopefully fewer games will get canceled or no games will get canceled. And certainly we hope want to see all of those games, your teams. We want to see them all. We want to see the playoffs. We want to see the national championship. More college football is great for everyone. JD, what are your thoughts as we kind of wrap up here?
I am in full agreement. I am hopeful that we get to see as many bowls as possible. I know that we've already been up to 5 cancellations. I hope we end with 5 cancellations for the rest of this season. Tomorrow's got a fantastic slate of games. We've got the New York Bowl, or excuse me, the Pinstripe Bowl.
Pinstripe.
which that's going to be a great game between Virginia Tech and Maryland. We have the Cheez-It Bowl, which is going to feature Clemson and Iowa State in a really good game. And then, of course, we'll be out live at the Alamo Bowl between Oregon and Oklahoma for what will be a very entertaining game as well. I'm really excited for the remainder of this bowl season. I am hopeful that we get to see as many games as possible. And more than anything else, I really hope that we also get to see more chaotic content in the way that Easy Post was able to do it. I know the Duke's Mayo Bowl coming up on this Thursday, they've got a very high bar to clear, and I think they've got a bunch of big expectations. But if I'm going to trust any bowl game to deliver on that chaotic content, it's going to be that, and I'm very excited to see what these sponsors are going to be doing for these bowl games going forward.
Yeah, I think we're all waiting to see that Mayo dump and to see which head coach between North Carolina and South Carolina gets that Mayo dump that they've been working on for, as you said, 14 months. And again, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you sitting here and listening to us. It's our pleasure to find stuff to talk with you, listen to you, hear your calls, and find guests. So thanks again for listening to RCFB Talk 11. Have a great night, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your holidays or college football season. Whatever you're doing, enjoy your night.